The trainer asked me if I wanted to call it a day, but if I can walk, I'm playing.
Keep tugging at our heels. Watch us high step and be a highlight reel of how high we get. The ghost riders off the ramp, how we live defies death. Put a conscience in the genre box, stamp a certified fresh. Bad boys beyond.
Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by DraftKings.com, the leader in daily fantasy sports. Use promo code Kyle when making your first deposit on DraftKings to receive a free contest entry today. I am Kyle McEwen. You can find me on Twitter at RotoWireKyleNBA. And I'm joined today by my brother, Shannon McEwen, who you can find on Twitter at RotoShannon. If you listen to us on iTunes and can please rate and review the podcast, that would be very much appreciated for anyone who rates and reviews us. Shannon will make you a home-cooked pizza. So please, if you have a moment, rate and review the podcast on iTunes. If you can subscribe to it as well, that would be swell too. All right, in this episode, we're just going to go over the injuries, and then we are going to talk about DraftKings plays for Friday evening. Let's get right into it, Shannon. Jason Thompson is officially listed as probable for Thursday's game against the Bulls. He's likely to play as well for Rudy Gay. Rudy Gay has a Achilles soreness that has been limiting him a little bit over the last coming couple games. Oh, this is brutal having my brother on the podcast. Every time I mess up, he looks at me like I'm an idiot. Anyways, Gay has been upgraded to probable for Thursday's game as well. We expect him to play. Pau Gasol is not expected to play Thursday. We are recording this prior to the games a little bit. Derrick Rose will not play Thursday. He's out with hamstring issue. Luol Deng went through shoot-around Thursday. Could play against the Clippers on Thursday. Josh McRoberts is considered a game time call for Thursday's game. So essentially just make sure that if you're planning on using these guys at all over the weekend, that you double check their injury status. Of course, you can do that on rotowire.com. If you'd like to get a subscription with us, if you email in to support at RotoWire, tell them that you listen to the podcast and you want $5 off. They can send you a special offer for you to use. Marcus Smart. President Danny Ainge believes Smart is probably at least a week away. This is coming in contrast to the news that he might be able to return as soon as Sunday that we saw on Wednesday come out. So it's just looking like a wait-and-see thing with Marcus Smart. He, of course, is sitting out right now with a sprained ankle. David Lee will not play Friday against Utah, but could return to action at some point during the team's road trip next week. He's been out with a hamstring injury. Matt Bonner is considered questionable for Friday's game against Minnesota. He sat out Wednesday's game with an illness. Marco Bellinelli is questionable for Friday as well. He's been sitting out with a groin injury for like several games.
Hey, about the stomach illness, so you mentioned it for Matt Bonner, and I know a couple of the other guys are going to come down the list and probably have the same illness. So that's something to note. This has been going around the NBA. Minnesota, Memphis, obviously San Antonio, but when these stomach illnesses hit, it seems to really hit everyone in the locker room, so you got to keep a close eye on it.
And it's frustrating from one respect, but in another respect, it does open up the ability for us to use replacement players at cheaper salaries and on DraftKings, although there is some volatility there because your expectations may not meet reality vis-a-vis the Anthony Bennett not starting on Wednesday, and instead they went with Shabazz Muhammad at power forward, which was just bizarre.
So. It was bizarre. It wasn't expected. I mean, they made the announcement far enough ahead of tip-off that if you wanted to make the change, you could. I was still of the opinion that Bennett would see enough minutes to make him a valuable play. But I mean, with the stomach illness, like Kevin Martin
played,
he was questionable, maybe doubtful with the illness. And he ended up playing through it, and he had his best game of the season.
37 points.
Yeah, it went off. He was like, I think he was top scorer on DraftKings for Wednesday night. If not top, he was right near the top.
Yep.
So, I mean, the people who won tournaments and stuff on Wednesday night had Kevin Martin.
Yeah, they did.
And in that scenario, I would have said to avoid him. Yep. I mean, either he's going to play, and he's going to be playing through an illness, or he's not playing.
And that's, I think when I see stuff like that, usually, I mean, the guy who won the big tournament I played in on Wednesday night, he had 22 lineups in there. So that was just one of the lineups he created where he was like, all right, I'm going to throw the injured guy into this one. and see if it, you know, throw a dart out there and see if it sticks. And it did. So it's, that's the one thing. I'm not one of those guys who goes out and plays 10 different lineups on a given night. I'll go out and I'll create one lineup and I just want to play because it's fun for me to play. I'm not putting a lot of money into it personally. I'll do the five, 10, every once in a while I'll do the $27 tournaments. But if you're looking for overall consistency, I mean, if you want to go play the numbers game, then you would be somebody who probably is playing several lineups. You're playing them in bulk. And I mean, there's people out there who turn this into essentially their job is to play daily fantasy sports. And that's what they do is they found out all the possible winning lineups they could use and they play all of them out there.
Yeah. You got to throw in multiple combinations, different players that maybe you normally wouldn't consider if you were picking one lineup. My problem is I pick 8 to 10 lineups and they're all wrong still. So that's the issue I'm having this year.
Giannis Antetokounmpo is considered questionable for Friday's game against the Raptors. What?
Just call him the Greek freak.
No, I know how to pronounce his name. It's so much easier. No, just learn how to pronounce his
name. You don't say it like they say it during the Bucks games broadcast on the radio.
They've been messing up. John Luehr, we're just going to wait. I'm going to name all the Grizzlies at the same time. John Luehr, Courtney Lee, Beno Udra, Kosta Kufis, Tony Allen, all are questionable for Friday's game with an illness. The illness Shannon was talking about. Nick Batum, who's been out with a knee issue, was seen at practice without a brace on Thursday, sounding very likely that he's going to be ready to go on Friday, which is nice. Dwight Howard was present at Thursday's practice but was not working with the team. He sat out Wednesday's game with a knee issue. And the other Dwight Howard story going on right now is the alleged child abuse. They reopened the investigation on him. I'm concerned about that following the Jeff Taylor suspension of 24 games, because if Jeff Taylor got suspended 24 games for domestic assault, I think if something comes down about Dwight Howard, you're going to see a similar suspension to what we saw out of AP. This is all speculation right now, but personally, I'm probably going to look to trade Dwight Howard in a lot of my leagues because I don't want to deal with all the headache surrounding it. So that's just the path I'm going to take there.
Yeah, it's a tough scenario. There's not really a right or wrong way to handle it. I do think if you can get full value for him in a trade, you know, given the added risk now,
yep.
Like no one knows what's going to happen. So given that added risk, if you can still get full value, it's probably worth it.
Jose Calderon can make his season debut Saturday against 76ers. He's been sidelined with a calf issue all season. Coach Derek Fisher said that Carmelo Anthony will continue to be monitored, but they called him good to go for now. It was revealed a couple nights ago on Tuesday night that Anthony has been dealing with knee soreness in his left knee since the second game of the season. He has undergone tests. He's expected to be okay in a general sense.
Well, he's been playing pretty well, and he wasn't that great on Wednesday night, but he had a pretty good string of 5 or 6 games there before that. So I'm not going to be too worried about it, especially if he continues to play through it. But that's just me.
Yeah, I just don't have anything nice to say about Carmelo because I've never been a big fan of his game in general. James Johnson was seen at Thursday's practice without a walking boot. He's been out with an ankle injury. Do you have something else to add?
Kyle hates good basketball players.
I just don't like Carmelo. He's bootsy. All right, let's get right into it. This is what we're here for on Friday's podcast always. Let's talk about DraftKings. Shannon, why don't you go ahead and tell us about Stephen Curry while I go pick up my energy cord for my computer.
All right, so I love Curry on Friday night. He's down below $10,000 for the first time this season. He's at $9,700. The reason for his drop is he had 2 subpar games in a row. But really, I wouldn't read into the games too much. One, he had a couple off nights shooting, missed more shots than he would from downtown, but he bounced back. You know, he had an 0-for-7 showing from downtown, bounced back, hit 3 3-pointers, 3 again, 5 on Wednesday night. In Wednesday's outing, he had 62 points on DraftKings. And really, that's where we stand. This is one of the few guys in the league, in DraftKings player pool, who can get you 50 or 60 points on a somewhat regular basis. He's averaging 48 points per game on DraftKings. He's topped 50 points in 5 of 10 games, topped 60 points in 3 of 10 games. And also the game, it's a great game to target because Warriors, Utah, and it's the third highest over-under of the night.
And Utah has been playing well enough that you're not worried about them getting blown out or anything against a good team like Golden State, too.
It could certainly happen because the way Golden State shoots, I mean, they can blow out any team if they catch fire. But that's just, that's, I mean, same thing could happen. Utah is playing well. I'm not, it is in Golden State. I expect Golden State to win. But I think it's going to be a competitive enough game where you're not going to see Curry sit.
There was that awesome clip going around from about of Coach Quinn Snyder on the Jazz in one of their last games. They were down 39-22 at one point, and he was on the bench just stewing and just feeling like his team wasn't invested in the game, didn't have their mind in the game. And he stood up and just started screaming at everybody on the court and just said, he kept screaming the same two words. He said, "Wake up, wake up." And it's so intense. It's beautiful how insane he was when he was yelling at them. So I would urge you to go out there and check that out because right after he did that, they launched this great comeback to come and win the game. And Alec Burks has had double-digit rebounds in his last two games, 14 in the last game.
Out of the shooting guard slot. Does Quinn Snyder still have really nice hair?
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
I've actually watched like 3 or 4 Jazz games this year, and I don't think I've seen him once.
Oh, okay.
But I really need to see Quinn Snyder.
He's got that really, really nice angelic kind of like fluffy, but it's contained. It's well managed. Mo Williams, did we already talk about him, or were we totally on Steph
Curry? No, I was rambling on about Curry the entire time.
You did a wonderful job. Mo Williams, he overtook the starting point guard position for the Timberwolves on Wednesday night with LaVine getting moved back to the bench. You've got to use Williams, right?
Yeah, he's only $4,600 on Friday night. I don't love the matchup against San Antonio, but 4,600, 14 point, 13 assist outing in his first start of the season on Wednesday. LaVine didn't do much in 17 minutes off the bench. He had like 2 points, 1 rebound, 2 assists, which is about what he did in his previous start. I think LaVine, obviously, there's reasons for that team, a team that's not going to make the playoffs, to give a rookie like LaVine run.
Yep.
But with the move last night, it's almost like they're saying, okay, LaVine's not ready. Let's roll with Mo Williams for now.
So there's a couple things here that I'm thinking about the situation. They didn't just move Mo Williams into the starting lineup. They brought Shabazz Muhammad with him. You also had Gorgie Dang there. And that was because of the injuries that created that situation. But essentially what I'm trying to say is once Thaddeus Young comes back, once Nikola Pekovic comes back, I think there's a possibility that they go back to LaVine with the starting guys to give him the experience playing with those starting guys. I think having some of those bench guys in the lineup may have pushed Coach Flip Saunders to say, I'm going to put these guys in there that come off the bench with the point guard they usually play with.
That logic is sound. I don't think it's correct. I think they're going to wait until LaVine shows that he's ready.
Yep.
So it'll mean playing off the bench and just putting together good games. I mean, I've seen him play in the game that Rubio got hurt, and then the first start I saw LaVine play, and I was impressed enough. Like I noticed the natural talent that he has, but he's still really raw.
Yeah.
So to me, it wouldn't surprise me if they just continue playing him off the bench until he's more comfortable and has really acclimated himself to the NBA game.
We saw LaVine have a 9-assist game. We saw Mo Williams have a 13-assist game Wednesday. But that's not generally what Mo Williams is known to do. He's more of a scoring guard than he is a point guard in many respects as far as how his game is. With that said, an idea I floated out in yesterday's podcast is that maybe the system that they run, that it's based around Ricky Rubio, and the fact that it allows the point guard to hold the ball more, kind of like a Rondo guy, where he's going to hold it for a longer portion of the shot clock, that can lead to more assists.
I think there's a little bit of that, but also 13 assists from Mo Williams, it's an aberration.
Okay.
Okay, you're looking at a game when Kevin Martin was on fire. All he had to do to pick up like half those assists was an easy pass to Kevin Martin, who'd shoot it immediately from 18 feet out and make it. I'll be interested to see how many assists he's putting up going forward. I don't expect double digits on a regular basis, but Mo Williams can dish out 6 or 7 assists a game. He's proven that in the past.
Right. No, definitely. But I think the expectation for Mo Williams should be about 15, 16 points and about 5 or 6 assists.
That's a good projection.
Jeremy Lin is at 5,500. He's had one game good, one game bad, one game good, one game bad. Why is it you're okay with using Jeremy Lin at 5,500?
Well, actually, there's misconception because it hasn't been like that. It hasn't been as inconsistent as people think. Or even if you look at his game log and don't look at who he's played, it would maybe appear that way. But in fact, he's had 4 stinkers this year. And those 4 stinkers came against Golden State, Houston, and Houston. And those are also former teams of his that should be mentioned.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know it's a different coaching staff in Golden State than before, but a lot of the personnel is the same. And I just think that has a factor in it. I mean, the Rockets in particular, he really had trouble with, like, Patrick Beverley guarding him. Because the first game was early in the season before Beverley got hurt, and the second game was on Wednesday. But those are the only 2 teams that he's put up stinkers against. He's been doing good against other teams. On Friday, he faces Jameer Nelson, who I don't expect to put up a huge fight. And also the Lakers-Dallas game, this is going to be the case for a lot of Lakers games this year, but it's got the highest over-under on the night. So it's a good option if you're stacking players from one matchup.
Oh, what do you mean by it has the highest over-under? What impact does that have?
So the highest over-under, it's projected to have the highest amount of points scored on the evening.
Oh, okay.
So you're looking at, it's like, I don't have the odds pulled up right now, but it was, I believe it's right around 218 points combined score between the Mavericks and Lakers. So more points scored means more buckets, more assists.
And that's the reason why we should use the next guy on the list here?
It depends. Who is it?
Kobe.
Yeah, that guy.
He's at 8,900. So
Kobe Bryant's 8,900. And again, highest over under of the night. But that's $2,200 cheaper than LeBron James. And there's no doubt who the better player is. There's no doubt who's on the better team. But on DraftKings, Kobe Bryant's only averaging about 5 less points per game than LeBron. It's a significant amount, but I don't believe it's $2,200 worth. So instead of going with a guy like LeBron at small forward, I would rather roll with Kobe at shooting guard and then go with the cheaper option and have more money to spend at the other position slots. He just keeps going, and he keeps chucking. That team's horrible. Yeah. He's not necessarily playing well, but he's putting up tons of stats because his usage rate is through the roof this year. I mean, he's on pace to, like, just crush any record for usage rate ever. So if that's the case, if the ball's always going to be in his hands and he's going to be priced under $9,000 on DraftKings, then I have to roll with him.
Bradley Beal made his season debut Wednesday. He had a pretty good game. He's only 6,300. You're going to be using him on Friday?
I will. I mean, I'm not sure if the Wizards have come out and said he's going to go back into the starting lineup yet. He was used off the bench on Wednesday. Even if that is the case, I mean, he came off the bench and was just firing.
21 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 3-pointers, 9 of 17. He took 17 shots. Did not go to the free throw line, but he's shown the ability to do that as well.
Yeah, and the team hierarchy as far as shots go, I mean, well, John Wall will have the highest usage on the team, but it would not surprise me if at year's end, Bradley Beal averages the most shots per game on the Wizards. And I'm not even sure what the numbers were at last year, but it probably was pretty close. I remember through the first 6 weeks, the start of the season, I think Beal was actually leading the team in shots and possibly scoring. But I fully expect him to be a great bargain as long as if he stays around 6,300, I'm going to be rolling him out there. He'll be playing 30-plus minutes per game in no time.
Yeah, I'm probably going to have him in darn near all my lineups. Shabazz Muhammad at 4,100. He had a nice game on Wednesday, but do you trust it? Do you think he's going to do it again? Do you wait and see if they're actually going to put him back in the starting lineup Friday? What do you do?
Well, again, it's against the Spurs, so it's not a great matchup. It's not a matchup I love. But if he's starting again, and I don't believe he will start at power forward against the Spurs. That's the one thing about the Wednesday matchup is I think the starting Shabazz Muhammad at four was partially matchup based.
Yeah, and against Carmelo. Yeah.
And they were, it was Quincy Acey, actually.
Oh, did they start the bigger lineup?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
I believe so.
My bad.
And but even then, I was surprised he was starting at four.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not a power forward. So against Tim Duncan?
Or no way.
But maybe, Boris Diaw will probably be starting. Bonner's going to be out. And
I guess there's a possibility.
And Splitter's still out, I believe. So,
yeah, yep.
So if Diaw, I mean, do I think he would do a good job guarding Boris Diaw? No, I don't think he should. But there's, at least it's feasible that Shabazz Muhammad can somewhat guard Boris Diaw.
First female player in the NBA. Josh Smith at 6,500. He has had two poop shows. But do you still believe in him to put up production? I mean, if you look at his season-long stats, he's still doing a lot across the board. The only thing that really sucks is his percentages.
Yeah, his percentages are horrible. If you're a rotisserie league owner and you have Josh Smith, you know that you can't even trade him for a bag of flaming crap right now. I mean, I've tried giving him away in our SiriusXM league, and I cannot do it. But on DraftKings, there's value. He's averaging about 31 points per game. He has dropped to $6,500 on DraftKings for Friday. This is the first time I've ever seen Josh Smith below 7,000. He's usually in that $7,500 range. That's where he's been most of the season. In past years, because of his ability to rack up steals and blocks, and really that's kind of what differentiates the stud DraftKings players. Like Curry gets a ton of steals.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis, tons of steals, tons of blocks.
Yeah, Gorgui Dieng didn't have a great game on Wednesday, but he had like five steals that boosted up all of his points on DraftKings.
And that's why you can see guys who, Steven Adams has been very inconsistent this year, but last week he had 11 blocks in two games, six blocks and then five blocks.
Oh.
And I think he even scored 1 point in one of those two games.
Yeah.
So, but he had like good games on DraftKings because of the blocks. So that's where Josh Smith comes into play. All right. He dropped in price because he had a bad outing on Wednesday night. He only played about 23 minutes. He was benched for the final 16 of the game. There was a spirited verbal exchange between him and Van Gundy.
Nice.
I feel like that's probably every verbal exchange with either one of those guys, no matter who's on the other end of the conversation.
Yeah, right? I saw Van Gundy yelling at Jonas Jerebko the other day too. So I think he does that.
Yeah, that's just how it is so I'm not reading too much into that. I'm not reading too much into the benching. Smith admitted he was playing bad, could not get into the offensive flow on Wednesday night, and he agreed with Van Gundy that Van Gundy was going with his best options down the stretch for that specific game. So the Pistons have too much tied into Josh Smith. They're paying him too much money. They're not going to bench him. Like, could they possibly turn him into a sixth man? Yes, but they're not going to bench him and play him 23 minutes a game. That's probably never going
to
happen.
Right. Even if he came off, I think they're probably going to move him to the bench pretty soon if this doesn't, because it hasn't worked.
Yeah, the team's been horrible.
Yeah, so, but if they move him to the bench, then he's still probably going to get, 26 to 30 minutes a game?
Definitely. I still think he hits 30 minutes a game coming off the bench.
Okay.
But, I mean, as a Pistons fan, I want them to send him to Albuquerque. I don't care where he goes.
Yeah.
I think he's the worst player in the NBA.
He's so not fun to watch.
It's the worst, man. I mean, his plus minus, I know that's not everything, but when it says, it jumps off the box score like his does, it obviously means something.
Yeah.
Like, he's just far and away has the worst plus minus on the team. They're horrible when he's on the court. It's because of all the dumb decisions he makes. Even his blocks, it's just like, oh, he's a help side defender. He makes a splashy block, and then he, he pounds his chest about it and throws the ball
into
the stands out of celebration. Not even like he just all dumb decisions.
Yeah, one of the things that makes Tim Duncan such a wonderful shot blocker is he blocks the ball to his teammates. He has purposeful blocks, not just the LeBron James, I'm going to throw the ball into the stands and get the crowd to ooh and ah. Not to say that there isn't something there that's worth doing that from occasion, but in general, if you can save the ball, keep it in bounds, and one of your teammates can get it, then that's going to help you out a lot more. Let's move on from the Pistons
because we're not making done. Me depressing. I just want to finish about Josh Smith. All right, he's coming off back-to-back bad outings, but there are also teams that have ran smaller lineups, have traditional small forwards. Phoenix runs an extremely small lineup at times with 3-point guards. So it just didn't make sense to have Josh Smith in the lineup that much for that game. Plus, he was playing poorly. But, I mean, they're playing Atlanta this weekend on Friday night. So it'll be a little bit different. Atlanta's going to have Millsap and Horford out there for long stretches. Who they have at small forward will vary. It could be Cephalosha. I mean, even if it's a guy like Cephalosha, I think Smith will do a great job guarding him just because Cephalosha is not a threat on offense. Mm-hmm. So I do think Smith's going to get a lot of run. He's going to bounce back from these past two outings. And at $6,500, I mean, like $1,000 cheaper than what he normally is, he's a good value on DraftKings, even with the risk that he's been playing badly.
Another guy who's been somewhat inconsistent this season, Nerlens Noel, $5,500. He had a pretty decent game in his first move into the lineup Wednesday, put up 10 points, 8 rebounds. What do you like about him? I mean, do you trust in him enough to use him at $5,500?
I do, and I used him on Wednesday. And even some of the lineups in, whether it's the $27 big tournament or the $200 tournament on Wednesday night, some of the lineups in the top 10 had him. Yeah. He was at $5,500 that night as well. And the reason why is because Philadelphia was playing Boston, who is horrible against power forwards. Markieff Morris the day before went off and had his best game of the season. He had like 50 points on DraftKings. Noel's not the same type of offensive player as a guy like Morris. But so he didn't have the same kind of outing against Boston. He still had a solid showing, though. 10 points, 8 rebounds. You know, he got a couple defensive stats. And it's one, the matchup, two, the defensive stats that I like heading into Friday as well. Plays the Suns. Suns are not good against power forwards. And then Nerlens Noel, like we talked about, Anthony Davis, Curry, Josh Smith, he has the ability to pick up strong defensive stats. So even if he goes out there, has 9 points, 8 rebounds, there's potential for him to have 5 combined steals and blocks. And that right there will give you a 30-point night.
Yep. Kenneth Fareed. I don't really know how to talk about the Nuggets without cussing, so I'll just let you talk about Kenneth Fareed.
He's been frustrating this year, there's no doubt. He started off the year and bang, had a big game against the Pistons. Looked like he was, that was coming off a very strong summer of international play. The Nuggets signed him to a huge contract in early October. It basically looked like this is one of our centerpieces going forward. This is a guy we're going to play a lot. We're going to lean on him to help us win games. The production, the minutes have been inconsistent so far. And as a result of that, his DraftKings price has dropped about $2,000 since the beginning of the year. To me, with this, even with the inconsistencies of Kenneth Fareed, dropping down to where he's at now, he's what, $5,600 for Friday night. There's plenty of risk when selecting a guy like Kenneth Fareed, but he's also the type of guy that we saw on opening night that can go out there and do 15 points, 15 rebounds, get you 40 points on DraftKings. He can do that.
It looks like every third game recently he has, or over the last 10 games, every third game he's put up more than 30 points on DraftKings. Friday will be the third game coming. So
there you go. There you go. That's science.
Stats.
all right, the matchup's not the greatest. It's against New Orleans. I like the way the guy plays. His price is cheap enough now where it's like the inconsistency and the risk with that comes with that. It's okay because the price is so much cheaper now. I mean, when he was 6,500 or thereabouts, I wasn't using him. I was too scared to because I know that he can go out there and have a dud. But at 5,600, like I said, he can go out there, get you a big double-double, maybe get a steal or a block too. I just think there's tons of potential. The Nuggets have too much invested in him. They just handed him a big contract. He's not going anywhere. He's going to start playing over 30 minutes a game, and he's going to start getting 30 points per game on DraftKings.
Marcin Gortat of the Washington Wizards, he's 6,100 on Friday. We don't talk about him a lot. Is he... He's not really a high ceiling guy, though, is he? I mean, usually in DraftKings plays, you're looking for, in some ways, guys with high ceilings. I mean, do you're okay using him on Friday, though?
I think it's a misconception to say he doesn't have a high ceiling. He had, so a couple games from his game on, 37 points, 40.25 points, 35.5, 39.25 just last week. So, I mean, he has potential to put up 40 points. He's the guy who can go out there. You know, last week, the 39-point outing, 14 points, 13 rebounds, block, you know, two blocks of steal. That's what he does. The problem is he's only been playing between, like, 25 and 30 minutes a game lately. And that could hold, but if he's rolling on a particular night, I think those minutes will bump up. And I think in a matchup against a team like Cleveland is where you'll see him play more. Because he's gonna be dominant against that team. They don't have anybody who can stop him.
Right, and his price is a little bit lower at 6,100 right now because he's played less minutes recently. Over those last four games, the most minutes he's played is 30 minutes. Although he has had a couple games this season, as you pointed out, 39 minutes, 38 minutes, 37, 34. There have been those games where he's just left to play out there and rack up tons of stats.
Yeah, and it could depend on who else is healthy in the Wizards front court, if Nene is out there, things like that. But, I mean, just looking against, like, Milwaukee, 38 minutes, 20 points, 9 rebounds, scored over 40 points on DraftKings. I don't think he's not going to get you that every night or even on, like, once a week. But he will do it occasionally throughout mm-hmm. the season. And when he was close to $7,000, I wasn't a big fan, but at 6,100, with a guy who's averaging 14 points and 9 rebounds, he's worth a look.
Yeah, I guess he's one of those guys who he's got a high ceiling for a given night, but he's not going to go out and put up 20 and 10 over the course of a season, I guess
right,
is what I'm
right.
trying to say.
And his floor is steady, too. Like, he's got a good steady floor. That mm-hmm. 14 points, 8 rebounds, you're going to see it on most nights.
Jonas Valanciunas, Andre and I talked about him a little bit in yesterday's podcast. He's been only averaging 24 minutes per game so far this season. 5,500 on Friday. Are you willing to take the risk on him?
I'm going to strongly consider him for the center position. Last week against Utah, he went off for 40 points on DraftKings. He plays against Milwaukee on Friday, they've been weak against the centers. The Gortat's best game of the year came against Milwaukee Bucks. So I'm gonna look at Jonas, try to get him in there, see if he works. I think at 5,500, he's worth consideration. He's actually not like Gortat because Gortat's got a much higher floor.
Yeah,
like there's more inconsistency with Valanciunas, but he's still got the same kind of 40 point upside when he has it, puts together a great game and plays a lot of minutes.
I mean, playing in limited action, Valanciunas has still averaged 11 points, 8 rebounds, and 1.5 blocks in 24 minutes a game. That's great production for 24 minutes a game this season. Unfortunately, it does lower his ceiling knowing that he's going to play under 30 minutes most nights. Two games ago, though, 17 points, 14 rebounds, 2 blocks. That was a 40-point night on DraftKings.
And he had a couple, he had a couple of 30-point or close to 30-point outings earlier in the year. You know, matchup's one of the big things. You know, his most recent outing on Wednesday, he went up against the Grizzlies, against Marc Gasol.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, that I'm never going to say that that I'm never going to look at a player's line from a game against the Grizzlies, a center, no less, and say, oh, man, he's horrible. He's a bad option.
Well, the Grizzlies play Boston on Friday. Does that mean you're going to avoid them pretty much all the Celtics?
I will probably avoid the Celtics. I will like to see how the Grizzlies' rotation is health-wise with that stomach virus. If they're still running like an 8 or 9 man rotation like they did on Wednesday night, I might be more willing to plug some Celtics into my lineup. The Celtics are also coming off games against Philly and Phoenix, which were they're high scoring games. A lot of the guys on the Celtics scored a lot of points on DraftKings. So their salaries are a little bit inflated right now. I don't like them as much on Friday night as I did in their past two outings.
What about Kelly Olynyk, who has had two back-to-back pretty poor games? I mean, would you consider looking at him if his reduced salary price? It's not reduced much. It's only at $6,000 right now.
Yeah, I actually consider that an inflated salary.
Yeah,
for him.
I was surprised to get to him and find that his value was that high.
And so one, the matchup's horrible.
Yeah.
Two, his salary went up significantly. He had a couple good games, like a 35-point outing and 36-point outing within a few games of each other. And one of those came against Chicago. So it was a legit matchup. Another one came against Cleveland. Again, Gortat faces Cleveland on Friday night. So here's another evidence of a center doing well against Cleveland. But, I mean, Olynyk against Memphis, there's no way I would touch him. And yeah, probably like at almost any price, I would try to avoid him. But at $6,000, it's insane to use him because you have guys like Gortat at $6,100. You have Valanciunas at $5,500. You have Bogut. You have Tyson Chandler. There's just too many options in that price range for me to consider him an option on Friday.
Larry Sanders missed a game earlier this week. And then he came back to action for Wednesday's game. He's $3,900 right now. That's close to being at the bottom of the barrel for salaries. So would you take the risk on him and throw him out there? He's been pretty darn inconsistent so far this season. But with that said, we talked about some of those guys who can put up those huge block numbers on a given night. Sanders can put up those huge rebound numbers too. So if you add that all together, he does have high potential. It's just, he also has a low floor.
Yeah, he really does. He's only averaging 6 points per game on the season, which is just...
6 points or six DraftKings
no,
points?
No, 6 points. Okay. 6 points, points. He's only reached double digits once in the past 10 games. But that's the thing about Larry Sanders is you are not drafting him. You're not selecting him on DraftKings because you think he's going to go out there and score 15 to 20 points. You're doing it because you think he's going to get a lot of rebounds, a lot of blocked shots, and he does those things. 7.3 rebounds, 1.6 blocks, and he's not playing a lot. Like he's not getting a lot of run. But when he does play 25 minutes or more, he's usually good for a point per minute on DraftKings. And that's the type of guy he is, point per minute on DraftKings. So if you're looking at 25 to 30 minutes, he'll probably get you 25 to 30 points, even if he only scores 2 or 3 buckets. Because the rebounds and the blocks are going to be so large. At $3,900, I just think he's a great value. And against Toronto, who is also really... Toronto and Valanciunas, they're weak against other big men.
I think Olynyk had like a 38-point game against Toronto. And we saw Larry Sanders in his first game of the season against Philadelphia put up 39 DraftKings points.
Yeah, and go look at what Memphis did to him on Wednesday night against Toronto. I mean, both Gasol and Zach Randolph had huge nights. They were two of the high scorers on DraftKings.
Yeah, Randolph was like 18 and 18 or something insane like that.
Yeah, so. And so the size of Toronto means that Larry Sanders will be on the floor.
Yep.
I think he's another day removed from his thigh injury that bothered him on Tuesday night and forced him to sit. So as long as he checks out health wise at $3,900, he's my favorite discount play for Friday night.
Yeah, I can get in on that. When we started to talk about the whole idea of okay, this guy's playing against a big other front court, so he should get more minutes, things like that. I started to think about Enes Kanter because in his last game, I ended up using him because he was playing against OKC. They've got Perkins, they've got Adams, they've got big guys they like to use. So I thought, all right, Kanter's going to for sure get big minutes. Whereas against New York 3 games ago, Kanter only played 12 minutes because Quinn Snyder came out and said, hey, look, I couldn't find a way to get him out there. The matchups just didn't work out. New York was going small. And Kanter put up 35 points the other night. I don't really have anything else to say. I was just kind of just talking about the idea of when you're considering using a guy who might have somewhat mercurial value from game to game, try to consider the matchup a little bit more in that instance.
Yeah, you should definitely look at the other team's personnel, their schemes, different lineup rotations that they use. Because in a situation like you'd mentioned with Perkins and Adams on OKC, usually one of those two is always on the floor.
Yep.
It's very rare that they move Ibaka over to center. I mean, it does happen, but both Perkins and Adams see a lot of run. Same thing with Toronto the game before for Kanter. He played 30 minutes. He did okay, 18 points, 5 rebounds. Toronto always has one big man on the floor, if not two. You know, whether it's Valanciunas, Amir Johnson, James Johnson.
Patrick Patterson.
Hansbrough is still on their team?
Yep, Psycho
yeah.
T.
Yeah, there you go. So I mean,
Chuck Hayes.
Yeah. They've always got guys. You know, it's not like New York. I mean, Golden State. So Kanter plays Golden State on Friday night. One, Kanter's 6,400. I hate him at 6,400. He was down to 3,500 just a couple weeks ago, and it's because there's going to be some inconsistencies. He'll have games where he has 15 and 15, and you think he's great. But when he costs 5,000 and has those games, that's fantastic. He costs $6,400 now. That's just ridiculous to me. I mean, he's almost twice as much as he was 2 weeks ago. I'm not going to use him.
It's like, I get it. I understand that the formula on DraftKings works so that it's reactionary to some of the new production from a player or recent production from a player. But it is a little bit bizarre to me that when a guy this early in the season is averaging just 13 points and 6.5 rebounds with no blocks or anything else, that his value would get up to 6,400. It seems kind of bizarre.
He's averaging 22 points per game on DraftKings right now. And keep in mind, that's with like a 36, you know, a couple 30-plus point outings. Mm-hmm. So he's had some really bad stinkers in there too. But 22 points per game, you can find guys that are a lot cheaper, that are maybe in the $4,000 range, that are averaging that many points, maybe even more. Larry Sanders, to me, is a much, much, much better play at 3,900. He's averaging 21.7 fantasy points per game.
There you go. Don't chase points. Meaning, if somebody had a big game, don't go put them in your lineup just because they had a big game the game before.
And the matchup for centers, Golden State is awesome against centers on defense, number one in the league, based on DraftKings scoring. So it's never, I mean, Kanter's just the absolute worst play on Friday.
All right, that's all I've got for note. You got anything else? I didn't really say that well.
Yeah, I have no idea what you said.
That's all I have for notes. Do you have anything else, bro? Sometimes I forget that we're actually recording a podcast and I just start talking at you like we're brothers, because we are, and then I get a little unprofessional.
No, I'm good. I don't have anything else. Hopefully you guys heed some of this advice on DraftKings and it helps you win some money.
And not lose money.
Yeah, losing money is the worst.
It's so bad. Yeah.
I've had a tough string of luck here, but hopefully it changes.
Well, this is the last podcast for this week. We'll see you guys back here on Sunday evening, Monday morning, depending on when you listen to it. Thank you for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by DraftKings.com, the leader in daily fantasy sports. Use promo code Kyle when making your first deposit on DraftKings to receive a free contest entry today. Our music is by Gray Theory. I am Kyle McCune. You can find me on Twitter at RotoWireKyleNBA, and this is
Shannon McEwen at Roto Shannon.
All right, you guys have a lovely weekend. We'll talk to you later, and we love you.
Keep tugging at our heels. Watch us high step and be a highlight reel of how high we get. The ghost riders off the ramp, how we live, defies death. Put a conscience in the genre box, stamp a certified fresh. Bad boys beyond G depths. You couldn't fathom what we plan to do next. Turn the music on its head, power bomb a suplex. Minds like duplex. That's a damn good dope duel. Don't forget the double check. Couple outcasts that'll hit you like a Smith and West. Turn up the speakers in the headsets, protect your necks. Yoga flame on this track, rock rappers better stretch or get burned. Put your ashes in the urn. Try to claim what we've earned. You gon' learn today, kid. We don't play. You'll get wrecked if you leave all day. Peep the speech, we be G-R-A-Y theory. Make a way you get steamrolled or paved in the streets. Go auto. Givers and takers, man. Movers and shakers, we know. Givers and takers, man. Movers and shakers, we know. Givers and takers, man. Movers and shakers, we know. Take them haters like elevators and ride them to the top. Take them haters like elevators and ride them to the top. Take them haters like elevators and ride them to the top. I know some old ones and new ones, fun ones and cold ones, bug ones and old ones, thug ones, consult some. It's really about the ones that stood the ground and held out. Shelled a couple bucks or some just to be out. Found many can't be trusted, but hate is uncontrollable. Cause sometimes the right thing ain't the right thing to do. And some rhymes with a punchline strike like Sun Tzu. Prime time, Royal Rumble, rain of fire, one crew. Great. We keeping it jazzy. Beat so hard, I bet it's twisting your chassis. Pass me the rello as I bring you up a level. Find your soul inside the treble. Base opinions on your own devils. Wrestle with your ego just to make you feel special. Revel in the dopeness. That's it. Revel in it. Bitch. Givers and takers, man. Movers and shakers, we know. Givers and takers, man. Movers and shakers, we know. Givers and takers, man, movers and shakers, we know. Take them haters like elevators and ride them to the top. Take them haters like elevators and ride them to the top. Take them haters like elevators and ride them to the top.